This is the Africa service of Vatican Radio.
Welcome to our half-hour daily program for Africa.
Welcome to your Sunday liturgy. This is the program that accompanies you as you prepare for the Sunday Eucharistic celebration. After the Sunday liturgy, you can listen to our bulletin of church news that will be followed by Panorama. Then, our feature, The World Around Us, with news about our environment. I'm Father Paul Samasumo. Almost the world over, the request of a mother is easily heard by her son because of the relationship that exists between mother and son. As Catholics, we are blessed to have a devoted love for the Blessed Virgin Mother Mary. May she always pray for us.
Second Sunday in Ordinary Time.
A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. For Zion's sake, I will not be silent. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not be quiet, until her vindication shines forth like the dawn, and her victory like a burning torch. Nations shall behold your vindication, and all the kings your glory. You shall be called by a new name, pronounced by the mouth of the Lord. You shall be a glorious crown in the hand of the Lord, a royal diadem held by your God. No more shall people call you forsaken or your land desolate, but you shall be called my delight and your land espoused. For the Lord delights in you and makes your land his spouse. As a young man marries a virgin, your builder shall marry you. And as a bridegroom rejoices in his bride, so shall your God rejoice in you. The word of the Lord.
Proclaim his marvelous deeds to all the nations.
A reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different forms of service, but the same Lord. There are different workings, but the same God who produces all of them in everyone. To each individual, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for some benefit. To one is given through the Spirit the expression of wisdom. To another, the expression of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, mighty deeds. To another, prophecy. To another, discernment of spirits. To another, varieties of tongues. To another, interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit produces all of these, distributing them individually to each person as he wishes. The Word of the Lord.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. There was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples were also invited to the wedding. When the wine ran short, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, how does your concern affect me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servers, "Do whatever he tells you." Now there were 6 stone water jars there for Jewish ceremonial washings, each holding 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus told them, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Draw some out now and take it to the head waiter." So they took it. And when the head waiter tasted the water that had become wine without knowing where it came from, although the servers who had drawn the water knew, the head waiter called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves good wine first, and then, when people have drunk freely, an inferior one. But you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this as the beginning of his signs at Cana in Galilee, and so revealed his glory, and his disciples began to believe in him. The Gospel of the Lord.
And now for this Sunday liturgy reflection, here is Father Enobong.
We all cannot be the same because we are all created differently and uniquely by God. A man is created to be united to his wife in marriage, and the two become one body. They do not need to think and act in the same way. Their uniqueness is in the variety of the gifts, the source of the gifts, and the purpose of the gifts. The gifts come from the Holy Spirit and are meant for the good of all. This union is built on mutual love and understanding, and above all, must be rooted in God. The human family needs the presence of God, who can make the impossible possible. The presence of Christ at the wedding feast at Cana and the miracle he did shows that God is always ready to be part of our families when we invite him, and he cannot be there and things will go wrong. He is the author of everything that is good. Let us pray for families, especially those in marital crisis, that Christ will restore their joy for each other and grant them the joy and peace of a happy marital life. When the joy and glory of family life is restored, there is bound to be restoration in the society. And may the message of Christ in all its richness continue to find a home in our hearts through the same Christ, our Lord. Amen. Peace be with you.
Father Enobong Udaijong, Father Hilary Munyaneza, and Robin Peary contributed to the program, and Father Paul Samasumo. Do stay tuned in now for our bulletin of church news and later, the world around us.
Yes, Pope Francis on Saturday met with the prefect of the Congregation for Bishops, Cardinal Mark Wole, the Apostolic Nuncio to Ethiopia and Djibouti, and the Apostolic Delegate to Somalia, Archbishop Antoine Camilleri, who is also the special representative of the Holy See to the African Union. He also met in private audience Monsignor Franco Coppola, the Apostolic Nuncio to Belgium and Luxembourg, and the Bishop of the Italian Diocese of Acireale, Monsignor Antonio Raspanti. That meeting was followed by an audience with Reverend Jesus Hernandez Martin, the President of the Works of the Church, and Monsignor Valdemar Stanislaus Somatang, the Apostolic Nuncio to Nicaragua. Later in the day, Pope Francis met with the participants at the General Chapter of the Congregation of Clerics Regular, commonly known as the Theatines. In his address to the group, the Holy Father encouraged them to go forward with openness to the Spirit, firmly rooted in prayer, adoration, common life, fraternal charity, poverty and service to the poor. Thaddeus Jones reports.
The Order of Clerics Regular, Theatines, was founded by St. Cajetan and companions in 1524 with the aim of forming a group of clerics that faithfully live the gospel, adhering to the holy canons and living fraternal life in common under the three religious vows.
Quanto cammino c'è dietro questo 164.
Welcoming the group on the occasion of their 164th General Chapter, the Pope remarked how they've contributed so much with God's providence over this long history. Praising the witness of St. Cajetan, his striving for personal holiness and contributing to church reform, the Pope said he offers us a guide of a living gospel that helps us move forward in our personal and community journey. Recalling the focus on identity, the Pope mentioned one aspect St. Cajetan emphasized, that reform must begin with oneself. He recalled the saint's early experiences, noting that when he saw the widespread spiritual and moral degradation of the times, he cultivated his own prayer and spiritual formation, and then went out to minister to the sick in hospital.
Il vostro secondo obiettivo specifico è la comunione.
From identity, the Pope spoke about communion, recalling the witness of St. Cajetan, who did not go it alone, but instead created a community of regular clerics. The Pope said often Christian community life is made up of many daily small gestures of care, support and solidarity for one another, gestures that support them in their ministries outside. He encouraged them to speak openly with one another and always avoid the harm of gossip, which can hurt a community.
Infine, il terzo obiettivo che vi proponete è proprio la missione.
Finally, the Pope recalled their focus on mission in order to discern the signs of the times, in order to better proclaim and live the kingdom of God among all people. He encouraged them to be flexible, to avoid any rigidity, while being firmly rooted in the essentials of prayer, adoration, common life, fraternal charity, poverty, and service to the poor. In conclusion, the Pope prayed for the intercession of St. Cajetan and the Blessed Virgin Mary to accompany the Theatines in their journey and commitment to communion and mission. I'm Thaddeus Jones.
Pope Francis will close the worldwide celebration of the Week of Prayer for Christian Unity on 25th January with evening prayer. The event will take place in Rome at the Basilica of St. Paul outside the walls. This is according to the announcement by the Vatican's Office for Liturgical Celebrations. The Week of Prayer for Christian Unity is being marked this year under the theme, "We saw the star in the east and we came to worship him." The theme was chosen by the Middle East Council of Churches in conjunction with the Pontifical Council for Promoting Christian Unity to evoke the experience of the three kings or magi. During this Week of Prayer, which is held annually between 18th and 25th January, churches and Christian confessions across the globe are invited to reflect each day on a specific theme as part of the overall theme. Pope Francis has sent a brief letter to Rome-based journalist Javier Martinez Broco. This is the journalist who recently photographed the Pope when he made a surprise visit to a music store. In the paper note, Pope Francis encourages reporters to fulfill their journalistic vocation, even if it makes others uncomfortable. Robin Gomes reports.
What I miss most in this diocese is not being able to wander the streets as I did in Buenos Aires, walking from one parish to another. Pope Francis made this remark in a letter to Spanish journalist Javier Martinez Brocal, the director of the news website Rome Reports. On January 11th, the reporter was passing through Rome's Pantheon area and saw the Pope leaving Stereo Sound, a record store whose owners he had known since his days as the Archbishop of Buenos Aires. The black and white photo of the Pope exiting the disc store of the Pantheon, as local Romans call the locale, carrying a classical music record given to him by the owner of the store and her daughter, went viral on social networks within minutes. The Pope himself saw the photo and thanked Brocal for this noble post. At the same time, he wrote, "One cannot deny that it was a misfortune that after taking all the precautions, there was a journalist waiting for someone at the cab stop." The Pope immediately clarified in his letter that this remark was a light-hearted joke. "We must not lose our sense of humor," he wrote. He also encouraged reporters to fulfill their vocation, even if it means embarrassing the Pope. Pope Francis is no stranger to out-on-the-town trips, having visited an optician in 2015 and then an orthopedic store in 2016. He had ventured out late Tuesday afternoon to the music store in the heart of Rome to bless the recently renovated premises. He also chatted for about 10 minutes with the owner, an old acquaintance of his from his pre-pontificate days when he would visit Rome as the Archbishop of Buenos Aires. I am Robin Gomes.
Pope Francis will receive an audience members of the Terra Santa Publishing Center of Jerusalem. The encounter in the Clementine Hall of the Apostolic Palace is scheduled for 17th January and coincides with the 100th anniversary of Terra Santa or Holy Land magazine. This is a publication that offers information and news on the history and current affairs of the Middle East and on its three monotheistic religions, which are Christianity, Judaism, and Islam. The international delegation that will be received by the Pope reflects the international presence of the Franciscans in the Holy Land, who have been caring for the sanctuaries and welcoming pilgrims for 8 centuries and are engaged in biblical and archaeological studies. The United Nations has sounded an alarm that its life-saving food assistance operations in northern Ethiopia are about to grind to a halt. The escalation of conflict across the northern Tigray region means that no World Food Program convoy has reached the regional capital, Mekele, since mid-December, the United Nations World Food Program said on Friday. WFP also raised concern over an unprecedented lack of funding, saying it will likely mean millions of people will be left without food and nutrition across all of Ethiopia from next month. More than a year into the conflict in northern Ethiopia, an estimated 9.4 million people require humanitarian food assistance. This is an increase of 2.7 million from 4 months ago, the highest number yet, the World Food Programme said in a statement. The United Nations Food Agency plans to reach 2.1 million people with food assistance in Tigray, along with 650,000 in the neighboring region of Amhara and 534,000 in Amfa region. The World Food Programme is in this way appealing for an additional $337 million in order to deliver its emergency food assistance response in northern Ethiopia and $170 million to reach those affected by severe drought in the Somali region over the next 6 months. You are tuned to the Daily Africa Service of Vatican Radio.
Hello and welcome to the World Around Us, news about our environment. I am Festus Tarawali. In this edition, you can hear about a Ghanaian activist who began a community campaign to resist when a coal power plant project was announced. Chibeze Ezekiel spoke to Rachel Ward for the 10th and final episode of No Denying It, the UN's podcast on climate and the environment. But first, let us listen to how Chibeze was introduced by YouTube stars, the Try Guys.
The youth have a right to participate in the decision-making process at all levels, national, regional, global.
Chibeze is an activist in Ghana who founded the Strategic Youth Network for Development, which gets young people involved in environmental action and policy.
He's also the person who started a movement to prevent a coal plant from being built, and as a result, stopped one of the dirtiest fuels in the world from getting a foothold in Ghana.
It's awesome.
We got wind that the coal plant was going to be sited somewhere in the western region of Ghana.
To Chibeze, a coal plant didn't make any sense. There's no coal in Ghana.
So in addition to the new plant, they'd have to build a port just for importing coal from South Africa?
That would endanger the local marine ecosystem and fishing economy, not to mention the effects of burning coal, the world's most polluting form of power generation.
We moved to the community. We spoke to the chiefs, the elders, the women groups, the youth groups, to educate them on the impact of coal plant. So we did all this behind the scenes, which we call the submarine approach, because it was a quiet approach, you know, where we're not making noise.
Chibeze spoke with one queen mother, that's a really high-ranking female leader in Ghana, who'd heard that in another community, their rainwater had become contaminated by a similar project. People had broken out in rashes. She was worried that could happen to her community.
She doesn't know what this coal plant is all about. So the question is, did government really do any serious engagement? So all those things became our ammunition in fighting the campaign.
It seemed like the government hadn't gotten any buy-in from local leaders, despite being required to consult with the community on projects like this.
You said that you have gone to engage NGOs and people in the community. Okay, as a matter of transparency and accountability, publish the list of the people you engage so we can be sure that the people were fully engaged. To date, that information has not been made available.
Chibeze's group continued to build a movement educating people about the danger of coal and the value of renewable energy.
They got youth activists together for marches with protesting and dancing.
The best kind. Eventually, it was too much heat. Plans for the coal plant were canceled.
And the government made a larger commitment to only build renewable energy facilities going forward.
All because one person had his eye on the ball.
Here's more of our conversation with Chibeze Ezekiel. He spoke with our producer, Rachel Ward.
As part of our argument, what we said was that economically, it may be cheap to generate energy through coal, but there are other externalities. Because one, when coal plants are working, they emit gas into the atmosphere, and that could lead to air pollution. That could also lead to respiratory problems that people will suffer from. And that means that it's going to affect the budget or the Ministry of Health because they must respond to somebody's health consequences. So that's the cost element. So when they say it is cheap, what do they mean by it being cheap? So it is not cheap in the sense that they are trying to portray it. Again, we live in a country where communities live on water bodies, you know, for cooking, for domestic stuff. So if we end up depositing the coal ash into the water bodies, then what are we doing to the people who depend on the water bodies? These all have cost implications because you must get money to address the waste and sanitation problems. So again, it's not cheap, which they are failing to recognize.
It's always so surprising when people don't consider all of the factors around a decision. It just seems so obvious when you're looking at it from the perspective of the community of people who are actually going to experience the effects. Were there other incentives that the government was considering as part of the reason to build the coal plant? Like, I guess getting a coal plant online would be fast, but were there other reasons why it was appealing?
It was only two main reasons why government opted for coal plant. One, because it was cheaper to generate energy. And number two, that it creates employment for young people.
And then the work that you did was to get out and talk to people about the sort of counter argument to those two rationales. What did that actually look like? You're going out to talk to people. Were there any moments that like particularly stand out for you where things went really well or maybe things didn't go as well as you wanted them to?
We have two plans in a community. The first one was to go to the communities to introduce ourselves officially to the chiefs and the elders and tell them why we are in a community. That, okay, we've heard that government wants to build a coal plant, but we have come to educate them on a coal plant. So we agree on a day that we can come back to the community and then we can organize a workshop or a conference and use audiovisuals, you know, or videos so that they can see, you know, what coal plant is doing in other countries. And then after agreeing on a day and a time, we travel back to Accra. And whilst we are preparing to come back to the community to hold that workshop, we got a call that the police stormed his house, that he's leading a certain group of people in a community, and that should we come to the community, then we stand to be arrested. But actually, we were prepared. For us, it would have even enhanced our campaign. What would have been our crime? Is it a crime to educate chiefs and elders on environmental issues? These are young people who are doing education on environment. You know, so for us, it was even a blessing in disguise.
Right, because of the publicity would wind up presumably getting you more attention and support.
So we're actually getting ready to be arrested for the first time in my life. So we're actually in the process of traveling back to the community only for the Minister of Environment to announce publicly that government is no more going to build a coal plant. So we couldn't go back to the community because actually there was no need at that time.
So you didn't get to be arrested?
Yes.
Like maybe a little disappointed?
Yes.
That was Chibeze Ezekiel, a community organizer in Ghana who mobilized an information campaign to block a coal power plant in his home country. He was speaking to Rachel Ward for the 10th and final episode of No Denying 8, the UN's podcast on the environment. To listen to the full episode, just go to news.un.org/en and search for No Denying 8 Episode 10, The Try Guys Introduce Chibeze Ezekiel.
This is the Africa Service of Vatican Radio and I am Kanyanta Godfrey Kampamba. Praised be Jesus Christ. Laudetur Jesus Christus.
Chine kabili no mweo, mucha lo muntungu.